Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
We continue our discrimination series now with gender discrimination. Susie Jacobs is founder of She Business, working with women who choose to set up their own businesses. We welcome Susie to Open House and began with her premise that gender bias actually is a lose-lose proposition for anyone setting up a thriving business. In fact, celebrating the ways men and women are different from each other is the key to success.
You sum that up beautifully. It's looking at, you know, I always look at diversity rather than comparisons. It's diversity rather than equality. So what can we celebrate about each gender and look for those positives and then maximise them, because that's how you're going to truly harness the energy, the intellect, the business approach in my particular business. For both genders, and of course our focus is on women and how do they really tap in to what and understand themselves, understand their strengths, take those to market, but also be willing to look at where our weaknesses lie and acknowledge them and then either be in a position to choose to change them or not.
Susie, the fact that we're having this conversation, that you have a business built around addressing gender bias, indicates that in spite of the laws and in spite of our community's expectation that this should stop, it still goes on.
I could spread a whole load of facts and figures to you about the, you know, and let's take one example, the gender gap in pay rates, which still stands, I think, at last count at about 18% across the nation. We do. We like to pride ourselves. It's not easy to be able to live in a country such as Australia where we are just so incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
If you only need to look at it versus, you know, places in Europe and so forth, which are really struggling with women's rights, and assume that we're doing okay. But that would be that assumption would be incorrect and stops the conversation. And that's the problem. If you make that assumption that everything is fine and we're absolutely equal, there is no conversation to be had. And the conversation is where, you know, without pointing fingers, without being you're right, we're wrong, just look at this. Let's explore it and let's see what's there. And as I said when we first started talking, therein we can harness the true capability of everyone in our society.
Susie, the differential in pay scales between men and women doing the same job is one way of measuring gender bias. Then there's language and expectations around working mums, for instance.
Yeah, look, it's a really, once again, I think this gets dealt with in conversation. We need to have choices. I really resist the kind of conversation which says, let's get more women in the workforce because then it improves our GDP. I think that negates the role that people who aren't working, and the majority of those would be women caring for children, the contribution they make to the community. The contribution that they make in supporting the next generation, and those things are incredibly important. What we have at the moment, due to a big shift in technology and also I think on the back of the global financial crisis, a huge increase in the amount of women working from home. And this is with the idea that we can then do both. We can have that level of flexibility about being able to care for our children, and it's not in fact just our children, it's also the extended family and elderly parents and so forth, so that we have the ability to do that and run a business. So that's the premise. And it is great on the surface, and yet there are still problems there as well. So if you choose to go ahead and do that and you start a business from home, you're then really taking on two jobs. And there's potential for you to also put yourself at financial risk. We know that 50% of women working for themselves do not pay themselves a wage. We know that 73% do not contribute to their superannuation fund. And those figures come from the Australian Women's Chamber of Commerce and Industry. So that's fact. So the kind of conversations we need to have is, if women are going to take on this multi-platform role, what are the issues then involved in that, and how do we bring a level of awareness to the fact that this is great, they can do both, however, their financial security is equally important, and therefore there are still conversations to have with whoever lives in that home, whether it be their husband, their partner, their children, about just because mum works from home, it doesn't mean that she should be the domestic slave and also be earning an income, because that's impossible. You only have a certain amount of hours in every day.
We often portray sexism to be the domain of the overweight middle-aged man with a comb over and 14 shades of brown, Susie. But, of course, the truth is that sexism's at play whether the boss be the man or the woman or the employee be the man or the woman.
Absolutely. So there are two issues there. One is cultural issues, and this is an ongoing battle that all businesses, all companies have. How do you create that culture within an organisation where everyone is valued? And then secondly, it comes back to that conversation we started with about awareness and education, and not about equality but diversity, appreciating whether we're talking about gender, about what each of us can offer, and that those skills are quite different if we make a generalization, and if we harness them together, we're going to get a great result. But it's insidious. It's it's that kind of discrimination is, bigger companies, larger organisations find much harder to stamp out. And I know as a business owner myself, I'm looking to, as we grow across Australia, how do I keep the things which are so important to the foundations of our business? And one of them was, you alluded to the fact that women are sometimes our own worst enemy, and we are. And we, there's many research projects around the queen bee syndrome and about women climbing the ladder and then pulling it out from anyone else who wants to follow behind them. These are not great mentors and role models for us. So how do we change that? And within my business, I was really keen to say, look, this is a place where there is no bitchiness, no gossip. We are here to support each other. We collectively are going to move forward. And that's fine when you're a small team of six and you're all based in Sydney. But how do I keep that going as we go across Australia? So I'll be dealing with those issues too.
So for leaders of established businesses, how do we begin to celebrate diversity versus endorsing comparison?
I think it takes understanding and conversation. It requires people to step forward and who are inside and who are perhaps feeling that there's a swell underneath or an underlying current which is not positive. And it takes courage. It takes that person to step forward and say, we can do this differently. And the greatest way to do that is in numbers. So to gather a group around you, and I'm about to go and speak at a conference within one of the big banks, and this is exactly what one of the women in that bank has done, is she started to gather people in her sector to say, actually, we need to change this. And she has taken it on herself to organise events and get-togethers and lunches and places where this sort of discussion can take place.
Is that process, Susie, about banning language in some words, or is it about introducing new language and expectations?
I think you have to start. I always come from a positive start.
Okay.
So it is about changing your language and being a role model to others. And I think that, coming back, going as you go forward, that's probably the best thing you can do. And it's not a language where you are sending out a memo to people and saying, right, you are now going to refer to X, Y, Z.
Yes.
And really sort of make it part of the structure. I think it has to be living and breathing.
Okay.
So, once again, I think that it is, I really step away from, let's go and find a formula that fixes this problem. I think a lot, our society would be a lot better off if we encourage discussion, we encourage debate, we allowed people to voice opinions so we could hear what's out there and then look at ways of finding a middle ground and being able to educate each other and come to agreement, rather than I sit on the left, you sit on the right, and never the twain shall meet. And we see what happens in politics around that.
In preparing for our chat, Susie, I was fascinated by your observations about the differing way men and women do networking. Men pay a lot of attention to role and peer-to-peer relationships and what's on business cards, and women have an entirely different process.
100%. So here's the, and this is where, if we look at diversity, so women go in there and trust is the most important aspect of a relationship. So women build relationships. That's what we're great at doing. Men go in there and they look, their two top qualities are around, do I respect that person? Do I respect his title? Do I respect what he does? If that respect is there, they tend to be able to go forward and do business together. So the process of business actually can happen more quickly than it does for women. So for women, they're building this trust, they're building this relationship, all great. However, it can also make that business cycle slower, or they never get round to actually closing the deal because they're so busy building trust and relationship, and they just don't want to take that next step to actually ask for the business. So you can see that once you start saying, oh, isn't that interesting? I can choose to learn to do it differently, to ensure that I'm also securing my financial future and my business.
And as a bloke in that networking room, I see an opportunity here to look for things other than what's on the business card.
Absolutely. And to know that if you're speaking to a woman at a networking event, that relationship is important. So don't go straight into the queue and here's my business card and let's do business. Get to know me, find out what's of interest and build the relationship. And I believe that this is a new way of business. This sustainable long-term business approach is going to be far more rewarding for everyone involved. And I think I'm hoping we'll create a shift away from the quick fix, the quick buck, the quick fix, the quick changeover, to this more sustainable business model and type of relationships we build in business.
Susie, what's your response to those of us who are working in places where it's about gender comparison as opposed to diversity? Where do we go from here?
I would say start having conversations with your line manager, your executive above you, go to HR, see whether the kind of conversations you're interested in having, they're willing to partake in. And if they're not, it's your choice. But life is short and incredibly wonderful, and there are lots of great businesses out there, great business men and women. Go find your tribe. You can be that catalyst for change, but if you're going to hit a brick wall, day in, day out, week in, week out, what's the point? Leave them to their own mess and go find somewhere where you can make a difference.
Susie Jacobs, thanks for your contribution to our discrimination series on Open House.
My absolute pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.